Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Dame with a screen to his left from Lopez. Didn't use it. Now Lopez resets. Screen to the right. Here comes Lillard downhill. All the way to the rim. Finger roll is good.
Bucks talk starts now.
It is the Blazers who dominate the Bucks in the second half and sweep the season series against Milwaukee.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, not a whole lot to say about this one. A disappointing outcome for the Bucks. I thought some very telling comments from Doc Rivers after the game as well. But we've continued to shine a light on the upcoming schedule that the Bucks have and the importance of games like last night, games like tonight, because you have so very few of those remaining against teams that are not only below 500, but teams that you are frankly expected to beat. And the Bucks really let one slip away here. I know night two of a back-to-back, you had some tough shooting splits, but this wasn't just one thing to point to. As Doc said, the offense and defense tied together, didn't feel the offense played all that well, to put it mildly, and that in turn put his defense in some bad spots. As he said, when you're not moving the ball and you're just kind of standing around waiting for it, it's tough to play defense. And I think we saw a lot of that tonight in a 125-112 defeat at the hands of the Portland Trail Blazers, who just have the Bucks' number ever since trading them Damian Lillard. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And, you know, now we talked last night, too, about, hey, crazier things have happened. I know you don't have the tiebreaker against some of those teams in front of you, all those teams in front of you, but the margin is starting to shrink when you look at the loss column and how close you are to teams like the Celtics and the New York Knicks. This pushes you one game back yet, so that it's starting to look like you still got 40 games left, roughly. The math, not necessarily not on your side quite yet, but it's just making it a bigger hill to climb. And now you got to worry about the Indiana Pacers, who have been red hot and are just one game back of you.
Yeah, it's a very frustrating, annoying loss tonight, Justin. Good thing for the Bucks, though, if you're looking at some for some positive news, you won't have to play the Blazers in the playoffs. So that's I guess a positive as they sweep the season series. I think I saw they're 3-1 versus the Bucks now since they traded away Damian Lillard. Is that correct? 3-1. Yeah, I mean, it you know, frustrating loss. I didn't like the amount of minutes the guys logged last night in Utah. And tonight, maybe the price was paid for that. You know, just ran out of gas, especially in that third quarter. Justin, they were out-rebounded 52-36 tonight. That's not very Bucks-like, especially that big of a margin. They constantly beat the Bucks off the dribble. Doc Rivers mentioned that during the network postgame. There's just no ball movement on the offensive side for the Bucks. Way too stagnant, too much hero ball. But I got one game ball tonight. You know, I know Giannis had 39 points. You know, he played relatively well. He was one of those guys that just kind of ran out of gas there late in that game. Gave it all he had tonight. But the one game ball tonight, a perfect 100% from the field. I thought he was more aggressive tonight in trying to score the ball. He only shot three attempts. He made all three, finished with 9 points. Andre Jackson Jr., Justin, getting the honors tonight. And you and I have both agreed that he's got to start to look to score the ball a little bit more. And I thought he did that. I know it was only three attempts, but I thought he was more aggressive in driving the ball and kind of looking for guys to give him the ball as well in that that dunker spot. He also facilitated the ball well tonight, too, with 5 assists, and he added 7 rebounds. So overall, you know, it wasn't a good game, you know, crappy game, really, but I liked what I saw from Andre Jackson Jr., and I love the aggressiveness from him, man, because I think he's a different type of player when he's an aggressive guy offensively, and we know what he brings defensively, but offensively, when he's aggressive and he's looking for the ball and he's calling for the ball and he's going up and attacking the rim, that's the things that I think we're looking for when it comes to Andre Jackson Jr. It wasn't a big sample size tonight, like I said, only 3 attempts. But overall, hopefully this is something going forward that he can build on, offensively speaking.
When he's not aggressive, it's not unplayable, but that's where the difficulty starts to come into play because of what it does for your spacing. And, you know, those spots around the rim, in the dunker spot, a couple of the connections he had with Giannis, too, where Giannis is drawing a double team with his back down to the basket. And, you know, Andre, there was the one sequence, too, where he started to cut and saw Giannis wasn't ready for him yet, backed up, cut again, mm-hmm. and got a basket. Like, those are the things he's starting to become more and more comfortable with and has improved his finishing ability, and that's going to be huge for the Bucks. I thought if we're going to highlight role players that had an overall nice game, I thought Ryan Rollins, too, had a nice bounce-back game against the Clippers. There was a couple of moments where it just felt like the offense was a little forced, and he took what came to him tonight. So those were the positives. That was, unfortunately, about it. I mean, Giannis was efficient, but the issue the Bucks were running into is there was a lot of standing around and kind of watching Giannis get going, and also that came at a stretch where the Blazers were starting to connect on threes as well. I mean, when you look at the stat sheet, up and down the list, everything is basically even. The shooting percentages, the volume of threes that were made, the field goal percentages, I should say, volume of threes that were made, points in the paint, essentially even. Points scored off of offensive rebounds were dead even. Points off of turnovers, I think the Bucks only outscored the Blazers by two. To me, the biggest part was just the offensive rebounds, the volume mm-hmm. of offensive rebounds that the Blazers did, and the stress it put on the defense to basically force the Bucks to have to play a second defensive set most of the trips down the floor. And, you know, look, it is one of the things, one of the few things the Blazers do very well offensively. They came into this game the fifth best offensive rebounding team in the league. The Bucks have been one of the best defensive rebounding teams in the league. So this was kind of the irresistible force meets the immovable object, but it goes to the Blazers. And I do want to get into this conversation coming up in a couple of minutes here, Brandon, but you really missed a couple of guys that stood out not only tonight, but it's been apparent on this road trip so far for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us this morning on Bucks Talk. The two guys, pretty obvious who the Bucks missed because they're the only two guys that were unavailable, not via G League reasons, and where and why they missed. Bobby Portis and A.J. Green, will get into that conversation coming up after this. 125-112, our final score tonight in Portland. The Blazers take down the Bucks, and you know, offensive rebounds certainly a big piece of this one as the Blazers just continue to feast on those second chance opportunities. The other part about it too was, you know, every time the Bucks would, I wouldn't even say go on a run, but every time the Bucks would start to chip away, the Blazers had an answer that you could just never get this down to a single possession game. And a big piece of that was you couldn't get defensive stops. That you can't go on a run if you're not stopping the opponent from scoring. It's going to be even all the way down, like, unless you're going to hit a three every trip down the floor and you make sure the opponent scores a two. That's the only way you're going to chip away at the lead, if you're not getting defensive stops. And the Bucks just could not consistently prevent the Blazers from scoring all night.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, Justin. We're like, sometimes you just gotta, you know, I know it's a very cliche thing to say, but you just gotta tip your cap to them, because that's exactly what they did. And it felt like to me, you know, I don't have the numbers really to back this up, but off the eye test, it just felt like Portland was hitting tougher shots too. Like, I don't know if it wasn't lazy defense or whatnot, or the Bucks were, you know, missing assignments or anything like that. I felt like, you know, the Blazers were just hitting extremely tough shots, clutch shots, late in the shot clock. And then obviously when you have the disparity in the offensive rebounds with the plus eight for the Portland Trail Blazers, that more opportunities at the basket. And that's what happened. I mean, it's one of those things where it's frustrating, because I think both of us and most people will agree that this Bucks team is a better team. But tonight, Portland was the better team. I mean, they made tougher shots. I mean, what, two, three of their five starting players today were over 20 points. I mean, it's a tough team to defend. You know, it gives the Bucks problems, obviously, with the athleticism that they have. But tonight was just one of those games where you just, you know, they just made the shots over the Bucks, and there wasn't a whole lot you could do. You know, going basket for basket wasn't gonna solve the problem tonight, and that definitely didn't happen.
You miss Bobby Portis in a game like this, and Saturday's game against the Clippers. I mean, three of these games on this road trip, we've seen the opponent have an impact on the offensive glass, and it's not that Bobby Portis single-handedly is going to prevent that, but Bobby Portis is one of your better rebounders overall, especially on the defensive glass, and you've played all three of these games without him. We've seen what's happened on the offensive glass. Again, the Blazers are one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league, so we're calling a lot of attention to the work the Blazers did on the offensive glass. I'm sure Portland would counter with, look, we do this to everybody, not just you. It doesn't matter if you're good at defensive rebounding or not. This is the way that we play on the offensive glass. But you feel good when you're full strength with the way the Bucks have been defensively rebounding the basketball. If you got Bobby Portis, you like your chances a lot more there. And the other part was, you know, another game where you didn't have A.J. Green available. I know before the Clippers game, I believe it was, Doc said he's close. And before the Jazz game, we heard more of the same rhetoric. And even A.J. Green himself, I believe, spoke with reporters and said he feels like he's close to playing any day now. You didn't have him tonight. And, you know, three-point shooting, it just wasn't there for the Bucks. You go up and down the list. You weren't efficient from the outside. You basically matched the Blazers in your volume of three-point makes. But guys that had really been pouring it on of late, Gary Trent Jr., good looks. They just didn't fall. Brook Lopez hit a couple of them late. His weren't falling prior to that. Damian Lillard didn't have an efficient night from the outside. So you just felt like you needed, who's the one guy that can come in here and knock down a couple of threes, start to heat up, and it'll get contagious, and the rest of the group hits threes. More often than not this season, that's been either Gary Trent Jr. or A.J. Green, and you didn't have one of those guys available tonight.
Yeah, and I think the last time these two teams played, A.J. Green had a really good game. 28 points, I believe, is what Marcus Johnson mentioned on the broadcast on the TV side. So, yeah, I mean, and it's a spacer, too, you know, for what the, you know, how Portland was defending Giannis and how they were defending Damian Lillard. I mean, that's huge to have a guy like A.J. Green to be in that spot to be able to hit those pop-up threes. But, yeah, and I think it also speaks to, like you said, where the importance of where Bobby Portis is for this team. And Doc Rivers talked about it in his post-game press conference. Like, he was looking for minutes, you know, looking for opportunities to get Brook off the floor and get a breather. And he just didn't have that big to kind of roll out there and play with what Portland was throwing out towards Milwaukee. So those are huge pieces for this Bucks team, and it's obviously it's what they've been missing for this entire road trip. They weathered the storm last night. You know, LA, they ran into a little bit of a turnover, you know, fest is kind of what lost that game in that fourth quarter. But tonight would have been huge, and I don't even know, maybe you mentioned it, I don't remember, Justin, but the energy that Bobby brings off of that bench is huge as well, because especially against a team like Portland, where they're going to run out, they're going to try to out, you know, be athletic and get up and down the court and try to outrun you. Having his energy on the court, Bobby Portis, that is huge, and it was missing tonight. It's been missing, but tonight was a perfect example, especially in that third quarter where they just couldn't stop the bleeding from Portland, from Milwaukee, that is. So, yeah, hopefully they're back sooner rather than later.
855-616-1620, the number to join us this morning here on Bucks Talk. So it really puts a lot of pressure on Friday night. Spent a lot of time pointing to the schedule that's on the horizon here for the Bucks once you get into February. Oh, by the way, that is Saturday. It's February 1st. So you're greeted immediately in the month of February with some difficult matchups, a back-to-back against two of the best teams in the Western Conference, home Sunday night against the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that, you know, we talk about the Blazers winning three of the last four games against the Bucks. The Grizzlies have a longer stretch of dominance against the Bucks the last five or so years, so that is a team that for the last half decade you have really struggled against in Memphis. Even going back to 2018 when Fiserv Forum first opened, the Memphis Grizzlies were the first road team to win inside of Fiserv Forum. So this, through the years, has been a difficult matchup for the Bucks. Then you have night two of that back-to-back, Monday night in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. So our first official look at the Western Conference leading Thunder. And you had more back-to-backs added to the schedule earlier today. by way of four games being rescheduled to squeeze in that missing New Orleans Pelicans game from last week. So we'll run through the details on that schedule update that the Bucks now have here. But take a look at this upcoming stretch and this week ahead for the Bucks, and why we keep pointing to, hey, come February, it gets much more difficult. The good news is we keep saying, you got to start to beat good teams. Got to pick up those wins. Got to look better in doing so. Beat those top 10 teams like the Bucks did so well a season ago. Well, the good news is you got a lot of those opportunities now once we get into February and through the rest of the season. The bad news is it makes up a majority of your scheduled games. So we'll take a look ahead to not only the game Friday night in San Antonio against the Spurs, but the rest of this schedule and how much it gets more challenging for the Bucks, especially with more back-to-backs added earlier today. We'll get into that conversation after this. 125-112, our final in Portland. The Blazers take down the Bucks. Second consecutive year, Portland wins it in a Damian Lillard return game and a strong offensive game for a Blazers team that ranked in the bottom five, basically, in most offensive categories this season. I mentioned the schedule adjustments that were made for the Bucks, adding one more back-to-back into the mix. So they now have eight back-to-backs remaining on the schedule here. One of those is a road back-to-back. Two of them are home and homes, and the other five are either night one is at home and night two is on the road, or vice versa. But most of these back-to-backs are against two very tough opponents. So we'll get to those back-to-backs and who they have in just a second here. But I mentioned there are four games that were rescheduled for the Bucks. The game last Wednesday that was snowed out in New Orleans has been rescheduled now. So it's going to be Sunday, April 6th, that the Bucks head to New Orleans to take on the Pelicans. But in order to get that into the mix, they had to shuffle around quite a bit. So April 6th, the Bucks were going to be off. That was going to be a part of 2 days off, a rarity in this second half schedule for the Bucks. That is no more now. So April 6th, the game gets made up in New Orleans, but the league had to tweak around some other schedules, not just for that Bucks and Pelicans game to be squeezed in, but also still games that needed to be made up from the Southern California wildfires. We finally had one of those games that was postponed due to the ice storm in Atlanta made up today between the Hawks and the Houston Rockets. The Bucks' second West Coast road trip this season, which is in the middle of March, and it's a five-game trip. It essentially stretches 2 weeks. Originally, the Bucks were going to be starting that trip in Los Angeles against the Lakers on Tuesday, March 18th. Game number two moves on to San Francisco against the Warriors on Thursday, March 20th. They flipped around those games. So now you're going to start the road trip in San Francisco against the Warriors on the 18th, and then you go to Los Angeles to play the Lakers on the 20th. And then that game the Bucks were going to host, or are going to host, against the New Orleans Pelicans, originally scheduled for Wednesday, the 9th of April, has been pushed back one day, so it is now April 10th. That's part of the Bucks playing April 6th to minimize the amount of games played over that small stretch, but it does create another back-to-back where the Bucks are now playing April 10th at home against the Pelicans. Then they go to Detroit April 11th to take on the Pistons, and it also means four of the final five games the Bucks play this season are going to be against the Pelicans and the Pistons. One of the things I think you and I talked about, it was either here or I talked about it somewhere else, was, look, keep an eye on when this game gets rescheduled between the Bucks and the Pelicans, because right now New Orleans is, I believe, second worst record in the Western Conference. I don't know if I'd use the word optimism, but they're starting to get Zion Williamson back and re-involved in the mix. He's looked better. They're starting to get guys back. They're still, with 35 losses, 13 losses back of the Kings for the final spot in the play-in tournament. They're probably not catching them. But if it got pushed back to late in the season, the chances are they're going to be in operation shutdown mode by then, that you're probably not going to see Zion Williamson. You may have other players that are shut down, and the Pelicans are just full-on playing for a draft pick. Well, that's what's happened. Now, it's not to say that's a guaranteed win, because look no further than tonight. Look no further than January 4th when you lost to the Portland Trail Blazers as well. But games against those types of opponents after the All-Star break are much different than when you're playing them earlier in the season, because it's not the players that are ever quitting on a game and trying to pull the plug. It's always an organizational decision. Like, the players are competitors. The players and coaches are out there to play to win the games. It's the organization that says, okay, we're three quarters of the way through the season. Let's play for a draft pick. We're going to make sure you don't play, and we're pulling the plug on this.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you have that, you brought that to the forefront for me, Justin, because I'm looking at this back half of the schedule, and I'm like, oh, man. I mean, March and April is just brutal. I mean, I think that's something we have known about, we have talked about, that the schedule has its peaks and its valleys. But because those last few weeks, really the last week, I mean, they're going to, if it goes the way that we think it's going to go, and the East is going to stay, you know, especially in the middle part of this Eastern Conference, is going to stay as tight as it is, you're going to need some of those, I don't want to say gimme games, but, you know, some of those easier slated games, because that schedule after the All-Star break for the Bucks really gets tricky and tough. I mean, a lot of road games. You mentioned the back-to-back. So it's going to come down to probably the last week of the season to see where this Bucks team gets seated. But, yeah, it's brutal. There's no breaks in the second half of the schedule for the Bucks team.
So the back-to-backs, you got eight of them left now, and the first of those eight is this weekend. Sunday night at home against the Memphis Grizzlies, and then Monday night on the road in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. Right now the Thunder have the best record in the league at 37-8. The Memphis Grizzlies are third best in the Western Conference at 31-16. So right there, your first back-to-back of the eight remaining games is against two teams that, as of this moment, are a combined 68-24 on the season. Your next back-to-back is a week later, when it's another Sunday-Monday back-to-back. That's one of the two home-and-homes. But this one's interesting, because the first game is Super Bowl Sunday, February 9th, against the Philadelphia 76ers, who won again tonight, are still trying to dig themselves out of that hole in the Eastern Conference, and especially some of the reporting we've heard coming out of Chicago, where it sounds like anybody not named Montis Bouzelis is available for trade. Sixers and Bulls are tied in the loss column right now, that Philadelphia's going to get into the play-in tournament mix here. So there's been all the talk of, hey, they got to shut down and start to tank. The problem there is the first-round draft pick is top six protected. Otherwise, it goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder, as if they need more assets. But the Sixers, where they currently sit, you look at the teams behind them, the Raptors, the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Wizards, all of those teams have basically already started to wave the white flag in the Eastern Conference. They have no incentive to win. They are trying to improve their odds in the draft lottery. We just mentioned the Pelicans and where they're likely to end up. There's the Utah Jazz, who right now have the second worst record in the league. The Blazers have been playing inspired basketball with his win tonight and a four-game win streak prior to losing to the Thunder on Sunday night. Blazers are probably going to be in that mix as well at 18-29. Philly right now is 18-27, so they're neck and neck there with them as well. The point of all of it is, I mean, that's three Western Conference teams we just pointed out. It's four Eastern Conference teams. If you catch the Bulls, that's another one. So eight teams right there. It's going to be tough for Philly, even if they shut it down and said, let's play and for the draft pick and see if we can get Cooper Flagg and win the lottery. There's a lot of teams you're going to need to leapfrog in order to increase your chances that I just don't see it being feasible. And your best scenario is probably to say, look, let's just, I know hope is not a strategy. Let's hope we get and stay healthy, and maybe we can catch lightning in a bottle with Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey. So Philly's going to finish somewhere in that 7 to 10 range. But you got Philadelphia on Super Bowl Sunday here in Milwaukee. Then you have the Golden State Warriors, who have kind of been going through it, but you still have the threat of Steph Curry out there and a Warriors team that has been slightly above 500 with a winning record and 500 at times this season. So that is the second back-to-back. You go into the All-Star break after you play the Timberwolves in Minnesota on February 12th. When you come out of the break, you have a back-to-back. Thursday at home against the Clippers, February 20th. Then you go to D.C. to take on the Wizards. That's one of the few games you have left against teams that are really down there in the standings that you think, hey, we definitely need to win this game. The next back-to-back isn't until the first week of March, March 4th and 5th. But again, teams that have given the Bucks some challenges and teams that are really playing for something here. Tuesday, March 4th in Atlanta against the Hawks. Wednesday, March 5th at home against the Dallas Mavericks. Then you have 2 days off before another back-to-back. Saturday, March 8th at home against the Magic. Sunday, March 9th at home against the Cavaliers. So your final game against the Cavs this season, who we said last night, look, win those two games that you have left against the Cavs and the Knicks to at least get to 2-8 against those top three teams. The final game against Cleveland is night two of a back-to-back. A week later, another back-to-back, and that is home against the Indiana Pacers, home against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So both times you play the Thunder is going to be on night two of a back-to-back. The point of all of this is not only do you have a high volume of back-to-backs left on your schedule, save for, I think, the only real unknowns at this point are the last two. When you have the Miami Heat on the road and the Pelicans on the road, and your final one is the Pelicans at home and the Pistons on the road, who knows where the Pelicans are going to be? Who knows where the Miami Heat are going to be, especially after next Thursday and the trade deadline passes? Up until then, though, Brandon, the majority of these games, it's not just one on the back-to-back. It's both of them that are against teams that are in the playoffs and some of the more elite teams in the league.
Yeah, and what else is new, Justin? And, adversity put in front of this Bucks team, because that's what it's been all season long. I mean, I'm, like, torn on this, and maybe you can help talk me to one way or the other. Justin, like, I kind of like that this schedule is the way that it is laid out for the Bucks going into the postseason. I don't think you and I have any doubts that this team's going to get into the postseason. But I feel like this is a team where, and I'm not giving them an excuse for tonight, but they just play up to their competition. They just, we saw it, you know, I know they've had some couple, you know, bad losses against Cleveland and the New York Knicks, but, like, for most of those games, like, they were within striking distance of those games, and they weren't really ever healthy in any of those. But I kind of like that this is going to be okay after the All-Star break. Well, really, it starts before, as you kind of laid out. But we're now in the second half, technically, of the season, and now you're starting to put important games in front of the Bucks. Not saying that no game is not important, but, you know, playing the Golden State Warriors, playing the Cleveland Cavaliers again, going to Dallas and playing these teams, I think is going to hopefully up the competition for this Bucks team to where they can start getting into that, you know, that next gear going into the postseason and not really kind of just lollygagging and waiting for the playoffs to begin. So I like it because of that, but then I don't like it because I'm like, oh man, you know, we're one, you know, ahead of the, right now, the Indiana Pacers been the loss column by one game. So it's like, for the fourth seed, like, it's possible you could slip a few seeds. But look, if this team's going to do what we want them to do, what we have aspirations for, they're going to have to man the schedule and be able to, you know, navigate, you know, the back-to-backs and the homes and the aways and come out top. And so it's a good test. It's a good test going into the postseason. Part of me likes it. Part of me doesn't like it.
I mean, I don't like it. I get the point that they play to the level of their competition. We've kind of seen that throughout the course of the season. I don't want the volume that they have. I mean, we said, 32 out of 36 games are against those teams that are currently in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's
or
a
close.
Lot.
89% of your games the rest of the way for a team that has, they're currently 26-19, so you got 37 games left, 90% basically. 9 out of every 10 games you're playing is against a playoff team. That's a little bit too much of the volume for what I'm looking for from this team. One other quick point on the schedule and what's left for the Bucks teams around where the Bucks currently are in the standings. We'll get to that in a second. But one thing, it probably took too long to get here. One thing that we do have to point out that we saw tonight, for all the optimism that came last night, it came crashing down tonight. So we'll get into that conversation about what we saw from a very important player to this team's future this season and what they hope to accomplish in the postseason coming up after this. 125-112, the final in Portland. The Trail Blazers do it again, and they take down the Bucks tonight, ending not a win streak, but some solid momentum that we had really seen from this team. And now it puts a lot of pressure on Friday night in San Antonio against the Spurs team that's been hit or miss, really, after a strong start this season, to salvage at least a 500 road trip. Because, look, what you do not want is a 1-3 road trip, especially a trip where you have a sub-500 Spurs team. Two games against, or games against, the Blazers and the Utah Jazz, and the other game was against the Los Angeles Clippers. A 1-3 road trip would just evoke shades of last year, almost to the day, when you think about Doc Rivers taking over, the first week of February, very end of January, when they began with a 5-game road trip out west and promptly went 1-4 on that trip. The last point about the schedule, too, is, look, with 37 games remaining, and this is something important to keep in mind, only the New York Knicks have a more difficult schedule in the Eastern Conference than do the Bucks. Opponent win percentage the rest of the way, 525 for the Knicks. The Bucks is 524. And I point this out because we mentioned Indiana Pacers are just one game behind you now. They also have 37 games remaining. They've been playing very well of late here. Playing much better defensively. Tyrese Halliburton is getting closer and closer to looking like the guy that he was a year ago. And the Indiana Pacers have one of the easier schedules remaining in the league. So do the Orlando Magic, who have the third easiest remaining schedule. So you got these teams that aren't that far behind you that have a markedly easier schedule than you do. That's one of the challenges of why we keep pointing to, hey, 32 or 36 games are against some of the superior competition and playoff teams the rest of the way once you get into February. So you got that one game left against the Spurs on Friday, but that's what the Bucks are currently facing, and that's the thing to really monitor when you look at the schedules left for teams like the Magic, teams like the Pacers, and, oh, by the way, the Magic have now just started to get their guys back. That was the other big thing to keep in mind with Orlando. Going through some struggles, but guys are starting to come back. And right now, Orlando, 5 games back of you in the loss column. That's not insurmountable with the schedule that you have. That these games, losses like tonight against the Blazers, even losses like Saturday, when that was a winnable game and it was just a, what, bad 5-minute stretch in the fourth quarter that doomed it for you, these are games you have to capitalize on because of what's left in front of you, the remaining games, the schedule that you have, how difficult it gets, and the fact that you're seeing teams start to piece some things together, like the Indiana Pacers. I said the Miami Heat, who knows what we see with them after next Thursday. They could go one of two ways. They could make a trade that helps them, and all of a sudden the Miami Heat are another one of those teams that you say, man, here they come again. Or they could take a step backward. But it just makes it increasingly difficult to finish anywhere but fourth at the highest when you let games like tonight slip away.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part about all of it, Justin, because we've seen this team, you know, you mentioned Saturday. For three quarters, the Bucks looked, they looked like the better team against the Clippers. Like, they... looked fantastic, and it's one little stretch. Today was kind of the same aspect of what Saturday was. It was that, you know, late second quarter, and then the first few minutes in the third quarter against this Portland Trailblazer team where the Bucks kind of just did it in, and they couldn't climb back out of the hole. And you know, they've kind of done that, you know, all year. You know, it's kind of been an up-and-down year. You know, you talk about the start of the season, they dug themselves into that hole. They finally dug themselves out of that hole, and then had some moments where they looked really good and some other moments where they didn't look so good. So that's the concern, I think, if you're a Bucks fan, is, okay, like, what team do I have? What team do we have? What is going to be the consistent team that we get, or do we ever get the consistency that we're searching for? And maybe this part of the schedule will point them in that direction and what they have to do going forward. But it is frustrating because these are, you know, games that, you know, we're going to look back at in April, I guarantee it, and we're going to be like, man, if we had that one in L.A. or we had that one in Milwaukee against Portland or Brooklyn or Portland down the road, might be a little bit different of a road in the playoffs, but at the end of the day, they're going to fall where they, you know, where they fall, and it's going to be on them to see if they can pick themselves up and make a run in the postseason.
I mentioned there's one other thing we haven't really addressed. We do need to mention tonight the performance of one of the key players for this Bucks team and all the optimism we had last night over Chris Middleton. I'm not saying that this three-game stretch makes the season for Chris, but there was so much optimism in what we saw from Middleton last night, and a tough one tonight for Chris Middleton. A couple of things to point to for that one. We'll get into that conversation and preview Friday night against the San Antonio Spurs after this. Well, last night you got 22 points from Chris Middleton, and he looked as good as he has looked all season long. There was a lot of optimism that, okay, this is Chris starting to come out of it. Doc Rivers, before the game yesterday, talked about, I'm not worried. You know, he's coming back from dual ankle surgery. It's going to take some time. He's still not fully there. We haven't fully integrated everything. We're not running sets for him. I don't have any of those concerns. And Chris Middleton comes out and gives you what he gave you last night. Tonight was closer to what we saw Saturday night against the Clippers, where he sandwiches his strongest performance of the season with two scoreless games. I'm not ready to go to the ledge tonight and need to be talked off the ledge just yet. I do think there was a lot that went into it. Night two of a back-to-back, I get the frustration with all that. It's the second time this season we've seen Chris play in both ends of a back-to-back. And look, what I would also point out is, look, I get it if you're frustrated that he can't play back-to-backs yet or he's not effective in those. You're also not going to have those in the playoffs, so I'm not overly concerned there.
Great point.
But I do think, and Doc dismissed this, it was tough to kind of get into a rhythm when he picks up three fouls early. Torian Prince did as well, and it just seemed like, from the get-go, your wings were just in a bad spot tonight.
Watching the game, Justin, tonight, Chris Middleton, on my meter of concern was probably at one of the very lowest. He was not something I was concerned about tonight. I understand that he played 15 minutes. He didn't have any points. He only had two shot attempts, so it's not like he was just, you know, not hitting shots. He didn't take a lot of shots. Foul trouble played into it, but I'm not worried about Chris Middleton. I told you last night my stance on where I feel with Chris Middleton. He's one of the best playmakers on this Bucks team, and I think he's a huge part of what this team needs going forward. I'm just happy he's playing on a second leg of a back-to-back, if I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm still in that phase. Maybe I'll have to transition out of that phase eventually, but I'm happy that Chris is still out there giving you 15 minutes on a second leg of a back-to-back on the West Coast. So, yeah, I'm going to look at it that way.
And I mean, the one pushback, he's got to take more than two shots, and that was the point that Doc Rivers raised as well. But look, that's another thing to keep an eye on Friday night. Friday night, the Bucks and the Spurs, Giannis versus Victor Wembanyama. We think, once again, 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins, and be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.